Our first scripture reading this morning from the Gospel according to John chapter 6, verses 35 through 40. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." And then we move to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Here ends our scripture readings. May it be that during this morning we will understand the scripture and see its majesty and apply it to our lives. Brothers and sisters, eating out was a rarity when I grew up. In Africa, we cooked our own food, and if you're lucky, maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, you could go out and eat out. And I must say, during the years in the Netherlands, the same experience. There is not just, it just doesn't exist that people would regularly eat out. So, if you get invited to eat out with somebody, you must know there's a huge reason for. When we came to America, we discovered that eating out is really America's favorite pastime. And we've also discovered that that happens to the detriment of many of our waistlines. Now, there are other things that are rare about America. We've noticed that amongst the biggest sellers in bookstores are the cookbooks and also the diet books. Now, it's a sad but a true fact that the cookbooks tell you how to prepare the food to make it real, attractive, and delicious, while the diet books tell you how not to eat it. And still, that's another American thing. We read both cookbooks and diet books. Now, celebrating the table of the Lord is a totally different kind of eating out. This we do aware that God's people everywhere across the world are gathering around communion tables to eat and drink together as a sign of what binds us as Christians together, here and across the world. Communion is more or less the same every place that I've ever visited and shared with the faithful, here and everywhere. And let me tell you that in a different and special way, eating and drinking is intimately connected and a central focus point to celebrate our personal faith in Jesus Christ. There is something unique and special about the Lord's table. When gathering around the Lord's table, more of our senses come to play. We become involved in a way that words alone can never accomplish. Jesus said to those who followed him, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now, that can bear the question, now, what does this mean? How can Jesus be bread for our lives? When we eat the bread, what does it mean? What are we saying with that? And then we begin to realize, but when Jesus referred to himself as the bread of life, that there is an obvious connection with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Jesus invites all of us to come to his table, which is a feast with room, place for all of us. And I can tell you, many of you know the history of the world, that there have been efforts through the centuries, since the time of Jesus, to keep certain people away from the communion table. And churches were used to be very, very selective. They had rule after rule after rule to decide, now, who is worthy to sit at the Lord's table? And it's amazing to know that those efforts have all failed. And across the world, as people become aware of Jesus, the bread of life, they also reach out almost automatically to share in communion everywhere. And their own conscience is allowed to be its guide. We've discovered Christianity across the world that communion is central, part of our testimony that we wish and pray to reach the ends of the world. And the message is, the Lord's table is indeed a place with room for all. Let's go a little bit deeper. I want to explain a bit more. In British history, it happened at the funeral of Admiral Horatio Nelson. A party of his sailors carried his body high on their shoulders into the huge cathedral. And they draped his casket in a magnificent Union Jack. And finally, with reverence, they lowered the body of the world's greatest admiral into its tomb. And as soon as those sailors were dismissed, they all seized the Union Jack with which the coffin had been covered and do what? They literally tore it into fragments. and each took his souvenir of the illustrious dead. And for the rest of their lives, that little bit of colored cloth would speak to them of the admiral they had loved. "I've got a piece of him," they said, "and therefore I'll never forget him." So in a sense, when we leave here this morning, each of us will take with us the same experience. When eating and drinking to God's glory, we reach out in faith and touch the face of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The strength and the power of living in communion with Jesus Christ goes much, much deeper than that. Our faith gathers us from all over and makes us one. And it allows us to reach out and celebrate God's presence wherever we are. Now, the best illustration I've ever seen about the significance and power of Christian communion is to be found in the conclusion of the powerful film Places in the Heart. And that movie is set in the Deep South during the time of the Depression. And it's really sad when you see the movie. It tells about the death of a father of three very small children. And he was accidentally shot by an African American. And the result was that he was, without trial, lynched. And the widow of the young father is in the process of losing her home through foreclosure. So valiantly she struggles to keep her home and the crop of cotton on which everything depended. And then came a drifter, an unemployed man named Moses. And he helps her harvest her cotton and salvage her farm. But not long after that, the Klan runs Moses out of town. And there is also an incident where a man and a wife are tragically torn apart. It's really a movie about being broken. Horrible, tragic things happen. And then, very close to the end, the movie concludes powerfully with scenes illustrating how things could have ended in case greed, corruption, and racism played no role. And there we see the local congregation in worship, wherein all the murdered and already dead people appear while sharing communion together in a local Depression-era church. And in contrast with the beginning of the story, they are now celebrating as brothers and sisters in Christ. And as the people receive the bread and the cup, as the camera moves, it becomes clear that this is no ordinary congregation. The camera zooms in. Lo and behold, taking communion, there is the widow, and beside her sits Moses, who had been run out of town. And on her other side, the widow's husband, who was tragically killed, is sitting. And who sat beside him? The young man who was lynched the one who shot him. And also the greedy banker who was about to foreclose on her mortgage, and even the treacherous cotton gin operator are also there. And if you look over the crowd, members of the Klan, as well as African American tenant farmers, are all there. And the couple whose marriage had been broken in pain and anger is there. But now, taking communion, sitting side by side, reconciled. As they reach for the bread and wine, all are clearly at peace with one another. And the message becomes suddenly very clear. What a sermon! Here is the one place where there is healing. None of the awful events would have happened if they only knew the peace that only Christ can give. The table of the Lord is the one place where there is room for all. Here is the place where there is living food. Here is the place where there is life to be found. Here is the place where you and I tell the entire world that we are family. Here is the place where you and I reach out to one another and touch one another in the act of communion. I wonder, could that maybe be the main reason why the Lord's table moves us the way it does? No wonder that this sacred meal moves us as it does. Truly, truly we proclaim, Jesus is indeed for us the bread of life. He touches and He satisfies our deepest spiritual needs. He allows us to reach out and touch one another. At no other time do we come closer to touching God through Christ than as we will be doing in a few moments. We reach out to the bread and to the wine and illustrate who we are. We are God's people, gathered around His table, taking part in Him. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. Amen.